Greetings and salutations on my fellow American sovereigns. This is the Vocational Science of Freedom Saturday night Civics and Sovereignty class, but we're going to be doing something a little bit different tonight. We're going to take a break from our reading from Institutes of American Law, and we're going to have a open discussion tonight, much like we do internally at the Vocational Science of Freedom on Wednesday night. And the discussion tonight is just going to be the state of the world. There's no specific topic I want to cover more than any other. We can talk about oil, we can talk about energy, we can talk about food, we can talk about fertilizer, we can talk about the war, we can talk about whatever. It's open. I am going to start with a post that was on the Chans just for some context, and then we'll get into that. As far as the format is going to be tonight, what I'd like to do and make sure of is that everybody, do your best to keep your mic muted until you're ready to talk. And in the mega chat, there will be a separate little icon down at the bottom where you guys can turn your mics on and off. Okay, so there's been so much that happened since the beginning of this year. It's almost impossible to keep up with, which is kind of what I said tonight. Like, I don't even know where to start with all this. It's so crazy. But I'll just read this timeline and we'll start from here as far as like some things that we can talk about. And then we can take it whatever direction we want to, as we usually do on Wednesday night. Okay. And then also there's one other thing about Mega Chat. If you guys want to raise your hand, there is a little hand raising button. And then I'll just do it in a round robin fashion so people can, you know, sort of get into line so we're not talking over each other. Okay. So this was posted on the Chans by an anonymous guy on June 22nd, 2025. And it's basically a predicted timeline of what's going to take place. And I'm just going to read it all and then go back and analyze it a little bit. Okay, so first off, Israel breaks ceasefire and strikes Iran. Check. Trump responds with B-2 bunker busters on nuclear sites. Check. Iran hits all of Gulf oil fields and U.S. bases, blocks Hormuz. And again, check. Four. Oil prices skyrocket, blackouts in Africa and third world. Check. Not all of the blackouts have happened yet, but certainly they're coming. There have already been blackouts in Cuba. Next one, U.S. sends three aircraft carriers. Check. At least two sunk by Iran, Russia, and China using suicide tactics. Not yet checked. U.S. tries amphibious invasion. First fails with massive casualties. That's almost checked. Most certainly on the way. Second attempt succeeds, oil field seized, advance halts, meaning that the Iranians would advance the halt. Not checked yet. U.S. Civil War begins. Anti-war bloc takes D.C. with military support. Interesting thought. Next one, U.S. splits into two and retreats from Middle East. Next one, Turkey betrays NATO, joins Russia-Iran-China alliance, attacks Israel. That's not out of the realm of possibility. Next one, China invades Taiwan and Guam. Well, they've been waiting to do that for a very long period of time, so that would not surprise me if that happens anyway, regardless if any of the rest of this does. North Korea invades South. Japan fails to stop it. Also something that's probably been wanting to happen for a very long period of time. India possibly flips sides. Now, I'm not exactly sure what they mean. Probably meaning that they would join Russia and China, I'm thinking. Which also is totally within the realm of possibility if all the rest of this takes place. Russia invades Poland and the Baltics, links to Kaliningrad, also good possibility there. Finland and NATO invade Russia, that's highly unlikely. Take St. Petersburg, I don't think they'd bother. But there's a weird part of that because Germany's been doing some really weird things and so is France about talking about their military age men. So I don't know. Next one, Europe collapses into riots, famine, and civil wars. Again, IBID if all the rest of this happens. Latin America allies with China and Russia. Not out of the realm of possibility. U.S. invaded from south. Advance stops at Colorado. I don't know about that. I seriously doubt if anybody tries to do like a full-scale invasion and the 83 million armed people in America would look at that and not take immediate action. In fact, if you took all of the armies of the entire planet and added them all together, including all of the police forces in the entire planet, and added them all together, they would still not be as big as the armed populace of the American people. All of them combined, okay? So I don't really see that as a possibility. Unless some other things go along with it, possibly. I don't know, like biological weapons or something. I don't know. All right, next one. 50 to 150 tactical nukes used high in atmosphere. Eh, maybe. It's not like tactical nukes haven't been used before, even though they would lie and say that they haven't, even though they have. The Tsar bomb and two strategic nukes used in Europe. Not sure where that would come in or why. Possibly because if NATO tries to invade Russia, Russia will definitely do that. So if that one happens, that will happen. That's a guarantee. Israel destroyed, Palestinians wiped out with it. Given the rest. Air travel ends, crime and chaos everywhere. Yeah, it depends where you are. 3 weeks of nuclear events. That's a scary outcome. Fake alien invasion begins. Yes, that's Project Blue Beam, if anybody has never looked into that. MJ-12 releases synthetic alien soldiers, PLFs. I don't exactly know where he's getting at with that. Yes, there are a lot of robots already made for military. I don't know about synthetic alien soldiers. I don't know where that's coming from. But anyway, PLFs hunt survivors. FEMA camps classify people as useful or undesirables. Okay, that might happen in a lot of other nations, but there's no fucking way it's happening in America. We'll just kill them all. By 2027, 5 billion dead. Fake aliens defeated with help of real ones. Question mark on that. One world government under MJ-12 and the UN. Dome of the Rock destroyed. Script complete. So, that's one hell of a layout, considering the first 7 minus number 6 have already happened. I don't know where this guy's getting his information. I don't know if this is literally some download from something like Project Looking Glass. I don't know. Or if it's some high-level military guy, possibly. But the fact that a bunch of these things have already happened so far, and I can clearly piece together the rest of the possibilities if more of these happen, is frankly terrifying. So on that note, wherever anybody wants to go with this, as far as things that are either happening currently, like if you want to throw a link into chat, I'll put the link up and either you can read it or I can read it based upon why you're putting it up or whatnot. And or anybody can go ahead and talk as well, like we usually do on Wednesday Night Roundtable. So that's what I wanted to start out with, as crazy as that is. And a couple other things to kind of go along with this craziness that aren't added into this particular realm of events, aside from where he talks about mass starvation, is that the inability to get fertilizer and create fertilizer based upon or what would have been coming out of the Middle East, and the fact that we're already into the growing season and that lack of supply has already hit everybody, there will be a serious problem with food at the end of this year. And it will be global. That's already baked in. Like, there's nothing anybody can do about that because of the fact that we have seasons on this planet and they don't wait around for anybody. So there's that part of it. And on that note, I highly suggest that everybody make sure that they expand their garden this year and also make sure that they just get it up and running and do what they need to do. And also prep, obviously. Buy as many dry goods as you can. I went out the other day and went to a couple different places and I bought multiple 5-gallon food grade buckets and then proceeded to go and get the dry goods necessary to fill them so that I make sure that I have at least 2 years worth of food, because I've been seeing this coming for a long time. I didn't exactly know how it was going to play out. Certainly not as crazy as what this particular gent says. However, it's a bit nuts. So anyway, get prepping, get understood, get to know your neighbors first and foremost, obviously, and make sure that you have what you need to be able to survive a long cutout of supplies. So, okay, let me just go through chat. So I'm going to check chat. I'm going to be just basically talking through chat all tonight. Okay. And I'll keep this up. And yeah, Drosselot, if you want, I'll give you guys the link where I had already had this, because I had posted this on X. So I'll give you the X post, and then you guys can just download the picture from there if you want. So that's answering Jocelot's question real quick. And I'll also throw this into Rumble chat in case anybody wants to check that out as well and download it. And then Spectre said, let me scroll back up here. Keep an eye on food processing plants. Again, chicken egg facility in Iowa last week. Yeah, there have been, well, not to put too fine a point on the food processing part of it, the issue with food processing has been going on for several years. It's not something that's new. It's something that's been happening for quite a while now. And there have been a lot of food processing plants that have been taken out. I think there was something like 1,400, maybe even 1,500 food processing plants that were destroyed all the way back in 2024. Okay. So that's I don't even know how many of them have been destroyed now, but far more than that, considering. Spectre also said, already starting to see a pattern of energy sabotage here in the U.S. Blowback, two facilities in Texas, Colonial Pipeline in Georgia. Oh, I didn't hear about the pipeline part. That's scary in recent days. And then KF said, Air Force is running an air transport bridge. He's got a link here for X. Let me pull that up. Okay. Massive U.S. Air Force bridge, air bridge to Europe and Middle East continued today with a number of C-5s, C-17s, and KC-135s flowing across the Atlantic. Huh. Okay. That's disturbing because that's a hell of a lot of movement of, well, whatever they have in there, because C-5, C-17s, and KC-135s are all... Are those all transport planes, I think, right? Unless I'm wrong. I don't know my military planes as well as I should, but that's a little bit nuts. Yeah. Because that's a lot of planes. So they're sending a bunch of stuff across the Atlantic, probably plopping it in all kinds of bases in Europe, and then preparing for God knows what else. You know, I would have really liked the idea that we in America would have been taking the other road and just been completely isolationist and just said, okay, fuck like all globalism, get rid of the United States Federal Reserve and the U.S. Federal Corporation, do a reset and a restart of our republic, clean everything up here, and just go totally isolationist. That would have been my preferred timeline compared to all this crazy fuckery. But anyway, so yeah, D, go ahead.
I think that timeline was preferred by all, and then it was somewhat ignored, and the other timeline was forced on everyone. And I think that's something that still happens. And I don't know if you recall that I shared this one case. It was an appeal in Virginia where apparently like some rhino was just forced upon this small committee, and then they filed an appeal, and they had something like 15 affidavits saying that all the irregularities of this, and they got overturned. So it's something to note based on, you know, your earlier comment with the timeline. So like maybe it's just that simple. You want to overturn the Federal Reserve, maybe we need to get that appeal process
well,
going.
There was, yeah, I knew about that case, and I also knew that, but I don't have verification of it, that there was rumblings, I think back in 2019, that it had been mentioned or spread around that the Federal Reserve has already been folded into the Treasury. Okay, well, I didn't really get a lot of confirmation of that. Would it be nice if that happened? Yeah, sure. Did it happen? I don't know, because I was never able to confirm it in any way, shape, or form. Now, that would be great, because yes, we should go back to our proper gold and silver standard, get rid of all of the international global Luciferian Jew bankers out of our nation. And I would prefer going back to state banking, what we had during the Jacksonian banking era. which is when we had the most expansion and the best prosperity per capita of this entire nation ever in our history. So that would be better, but folding the Federal Reserve into the Treasury is just privatizing the Treasury. Well, I'm sure they could run it that way. You're right, KF, if they wanted to. So that could go bad either way. I was saying more in the positive standpoint to say, hey, it's going to get folded in, so it gets removed and it's going back to constitutional money. Yeah, could there be fuckery the other direction? Of course, yeah, without question. That could be like a really bad thing. All right, and then KF put up this article as well. Just make sure you guys are going to see it. So evacuation of U.S. troops from Mideast base sends community groups scrambling to help. Yeah, there have been a lot of hits on Middle Eastern bases for a minute now. And it wouldn't surprise me if the rest of the Middle East just completely erupts and says, okay, fuck America. All you guys get out of here right now. And everybody decides to start piling onto the American bases. Yep. That wouldn't surprise me in one single iota at all. So it says NPR learned that hundreds of sailors were evacuated back to the United States from their bases in Bahrain after the base was attacked by Iranian missiles and drones. In addition to the base, NPR has learned that there have been evacuations from other U.S. military bases in the region, though the exact details are unknown at this point. Bahrain is the home of the Navy's 5th Fleet, making it a central hub for providing maritime security to the Middle Eastern region, including protecting commercial shipping. Well, so much for that. I mean, Iran already shut down the whole bloody strait anyway. The country is an island in the Persian Gulf that sits roughly 124 nautical miles away from the coast of Iran, which makes Bahrain well within range of Iranian drone strikes and air missiles. Yeah, exactly. And here's a little snapshot of it that it got smushed.
Can I ask or pose the comment? With all the lies and fuckery of that, like, how much of this article do you want to believe, you know? Like, without,
I don't know. It is NPR. But, I mean, yes, we do know that American bases have been hit. And it would make sense that they, you know, got the hell out of there. That's totally logical. Makes perfect sense.
No, it's just like when I first learned of in the first Gulf War, that the UN ambassador's daughter, like, was put up as a witness or to Saddam, like,
yeah, the whole weapons of mass destruction bullshit, and they're killing the babies, no, in the incubators.
Yeah, exactly. That was, yeah. Is that not like the biggest in your face?
What's certainly part of it? Yeah, and it's part and parcel of what they do. They put people into positions all the time where they'll create stories out of nothing and whatnot. Whatever this might be exaggerated, clearly from a place like NPR, you know, so be it. But we do know that things are getting blasted in the Middle East without question. And there was one more Spectre said, I was going to scroll back up here. Have no choice. He said, hold on guys. I don't know how to stop. I don't know how to stop scrolling in Mega. Cause we usually don't go this fast. Have no choice. Every fucking base in the Middle East already hit by Iran, unlivable conditions, which begs the question, where in the hell are they going to house all those military Marines and army? Right. Okay. Yeah, that's yes. True. Absolutely true. KF dropped another one from Times of India. U.S. evacuates sailors from Bahrain base after Iranian airstrikes destroyed the 5th Fleet headquarters. Yeah, that would be part and parcel of the problem. The United States has evacuated hundreds of sailors from its naval bases in Bahrain following Iranian missile and drone strikes, according to NPR. So it goes back to the same report.
It's just like a circular thing, yeah.
But we know they've been hit. There's been plenty of videos also that have been sent out from all kinds of places, people personally doing this and that. The next thing saying, hey, look at this, look at that, look at this blowing up here, look at that blowing up here. Okay, is anybody else, or Spectre, if you want to chime in, or KF, one of the two of you. On anything else, too, by the way, we're not just necessarily just talking about the war tonight, so.
I guess in regards to the Fed, the Treasury, and that, I had seen some stuff here a little while back in regards to something along those lines when Bessent had been speaking here. It's probably been a month or two ago now. But given how things are currently playing out, Trump's current pick and how things are currently going through the Senate, it's not beyond a reasonable doubt that things could go in that direction. Kevin Warsh, the guy that he chose for a pick, is supposed to be Trump's guy, but he comes across as rather hawkish because they wanted him in just to basically be a yes man to lower rates. But with the war and everything else going on, the exact opposite is actually going to happen. We're actually going to be chasing inflation, and it's going to be a matter of the Fed trying to decide whether or not it wants to intervene and start to raise rates. Well, anybody who knows anything about how the Fed works and what plays out with the OPEC nations net knows that the oil flow, with however many barrels net they decide to raise or lower at any given time, counterbalances whatever the Fed does.
Yeah.
So I'm not exactly sure how exactly this plays out between those two, given that we could be seeing $200 a barrel oil.
I think that's that might even be baked in by now, but yes.
And Warsh may not even necessarily get through the Senate because Tillis is going to be acting as a block on him, which means that Powell could potentially be in his position longer than we anticipate.
Yeah, I mean, in talking about these things, about what changes are going on in the United States government, it might be, in a sense, talking about shuffling deck chairs on the Titanic at this point. I don't know. Because for example, what KF just showed me with all of those planes, like literally just going straight across the Atlantic and they're just sending all kinds of stuff over there. So that's clearly the Luciferian Jews, like just expanding everything. They're like, oh, we're going to go in this all the way, and we're going to send every single military thing that America has to just go and do whatever, because the bankers need wars.
True.
That's what it is. The bankers need. No, well, the planes are real. You can track the planes. There's no question about that. Okay.
They could be empty.
So, highly unlikely. I don't think anybody's going to be flying back and forth just for empty planes. And then the next subject about talking about deck chairs in the Titanic. Pam Bondi's out, obviously. And the guy that I think was going to replace her, from what my understanding is, that he's not going to be any better than she was. And he had some connections with something else as well. So anyway, what I'm getting at as far as the rearranging of government officials, and I don't really give a shit who it is. I don't even care if it's the president. Like, because Trump just went to the hospital today, I think. Did somebody try and take him out? I don't know. Did he get poisoned? I don't know. Was it just a regular checkup? I don't know. But it looked like it was kind of an emergency. And if this whole thing is going to go pushed forward by the global Luciferians to play out this timeline that's sitting in front of us, and Trump's too much in the way, yeah, of course they'll take him out. They've taken out plenty of presidents.
Trump was in the hospital today?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there was a whole thing about it. Yeah, and there was things that were scheduled, and they he didn't come on for them, and that he had been rushed to I can't remember the name of the hospital off the top of my head in D.C. Walter Reed? Yeah.
Yeah. Because they had just put something out, too, that Alito made an unexpected visit, and it was really hush-hush about that, too, from the Supreme Court.
Okay, that I didn't hear about that one. But
yeah, this just come out after the 14th Amendment arguments and that.
Did you say Alito?
Yeah, Samuel Alito. I guess they kept it pretty under wraps.
The day after the 14th Amendment?
Hold on, D, don't
talk over anybody. Okay, let Spectre have the floor. Like I said, we can't run this like Wednesday night. Let's be civilized about this, all right? So, all right, go ahead and tell me about that, because I didn't hear that.
Yeah, they didn't say one way or another. It's been kept really under wraps, I guess. So I don't know if it was before or after or when. It might have been before, because he was there for deliberations and arguments and that on Thursday when we listened.
Yeah.
Or Wednesday, I guess it was.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And now there's talk of whether or not Alito and Clarence Thomas may actually retire, which would open up two more seats for Trump.
Okay. Well, that would be interesting. At the same time, I'm starting to wonder if all these things happen because some of these people that are really high up and are in the know, they're like, well, all this is going down and we know where this ends. So we're going to go into our underground bunkers right now. And you guys just do whatever you want. In a sense, that could be something that's going on. I'm not saying that is what's going on, but I'm saying that there's been a lot of billionaires that have said, by the way, I'm building an underground bunker in so-and-so place. And there's And then there's all the underground bases that are part of what has already been built with our stolen money, or I mean, our money, whatever. You know what I'm saying? That the 54 trillion from what Catherine Austin Fitz figured out from 1995, I think, till now, 55 trillion. And she thinks that a lot of it went to underground bases for the elites, basically. Basically, they have a whole entire network underneath us that's all connected by high-speed rail. And she said that's where most of the money went. Now, could it have gone to other places as well? I'm sure. But if they're preparing for an event where they already know like the whole playing field and they do have this all planned out, and this little timeline we're looking at is something that's already planned, not something that just somebody speculated about and is like, maybe this will happen, because this seems pretty scarily accurate when you know look at the first seven. I don't know. I'm just telling everybody that everybody should be prepared for whatever they think they can get prepared for, whatever that may be for you. You should do it now. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Do it now. Whether it means getting the last bit of, you know, hand tools that you need for your own creation of whatever, whether it is buying organic seeds, which everybody should have a stockpile of anyway, or prepping food and or figuring out locations, or, you know, setting up your bug out location to get the hell out of big city places, whatever it may be, whatever is on your list to do, you should be doing it now, because it's getting a little bit crazy out here, and for good reason, because the energy thing, like I said, Cuba has already been experiencing blackouts more or less across the whole country from what I could tell. So, and yes, if you've been prepared since 2020, that's good, because you know how to do that. And people should stay prepared, because this is not going to get any better until I feel that we, the American people, alter it ourselves. Like, we have to fix it ourselves, not try and wait around for somebody to do something else, because we know what direction they're going to go, no matter really who the somebody is, because for a very, very long period of time, there has been no actual leadership in America that hasn't been completely controlled by either secret societies or has bloodline ties to each other or has been handpicked by the Committee of 300 or has been compromised when you talk about senators and representatives, obviously, because they don't have a tremendous amount of power, but they have a little bit, but basically the presidents. So yeah, we've been in this mess for a long time. And it all started way back in Reconstruction. And I'm not trying to get into a history lesson here about the United States, but anyway, I'm just saying this is not something where we want to look around for and say, oh, we should look for a savior, because there isn't going to be one. So from the standpoint of the fifth generational war aspect, this has been building for a very long period of time. And we now see it in the collapse of Western nations as a whole, because they've wanted to collapse Western nations as a whole, because they know that if white Western nations actually rise up against them as the totality of the global Luciferian structure is concerned, it's not going to go well for them. I mean, they would rather, in their biological psychopath mindset, burn everything down before they lose. And that's certainly baked into the plan with Israel. What do they call that plan in Israel? Like, if they get cornered, they're just going to launch all their nukes. I can't remember the name of it. It's the Samson option, that one. Just crush everything.
The nukes
just,
that nobody knows they have, by the way. You're not allowed to speak of.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly. No, we don't have them. Yeah, sure you don't. That they'll just launch them on everything if they feel like, you know, they're getting destroyed or whatever. Now, there's been untold amounts of rats already fleeing the ship. I don't know how many of them already took off, got out of there, that already had, like, all the private jets left already, obviously, like, as soon as Iran started pounding everything. But nonstop flights, everything else, ships, boats, train, whatever, they're all leaving Israel. And they're showing up all around the world. Like, they're showing up in New York. They're trying to take over like an area of Greece. They're also trying to take over an area of Argentina, which apparently the Argentinian president's like, yeah, sure, come on. I was like, what, really? Like, they're your problem, dude. Like, if you let them in any more than you already have. Well, he's already cucked anyway, but anyway, you get my point. They're just fleeing everywhere, and they're invading everywhere at the same time. So the way I look at this is that when the totality of the world wakes up to the fact that this is a spiritual war, good versus evil, and realizes who the evil is, then that's going to be a problem, because the whole world's going to realize who their enemy is, and they're not going to tolerate it. So I see that as being something that's coming, and something that's already come, something that's already here in a very high level, because the change in attitude that I've seen over the last several years, actually the last several decades, as to the attitude of people on the street and stuff that I've seen in social media for all that period of time, the attitude's totally changed from, oh, okay, sure, yeah, we like Israel, to like now all of the younger generations are like, fuck Israel. And even the vast majority of the rest of the quote unquote normies are also feeling like that for obvious reasons, because they're now getting information, real information, that the mainstream media obviously won't cover. And they get to find it on social media and say, hey, wait a second, what's going on here? And some of them are luckily enough starting to use critical thinking, which is a good thing, and getting true knowledge and then putting the pieces together to see the totality of the 3D model of how this entire planet actually runs. Because very few people understand this, which is why it was so important that I read the whole entire book of Conspirators' Hierarchy, The Committee of 300. So, which I highly suggest everybody go listen to if you got the time, because it pieces together all of the rest of their agenda and who's actually running the totality of the world. Okay. So anyway,
they've been kicked out of how many countries? 105, 109, whatever number.
I think it's actually up to 110. Somebody else said, well, there's been a lot of these posts and things online, and I've even seen it on the back of people's cars saying "Make America 110." Well, technically, I think it's 111. I think technically we're 111. But yeah. Oh, and by the way, since you guys were kind of bringing it up in chat a little bit, the Haven server is up, and we're gonna migrate over there probably like this next week. I just want to check a few more things about it, and make sure that all the rooms are up the way I want it to be, and make sure that everything else is locked in as far as the roles are concerned. So we'll migrate over there probably this week, where then everybody can have a lot more different discussions in different places, and we won't be kind of limited in our chat capacity, if you will, on Mega, because Mega was always meant to be a backup for us anyway. So, but these are the things that we have to go through at the VSOF to be able to continue to have a place where we can have free speech, because, well, we've been kicked off of all the other places. Because why? Well, because we talk about things like this, and then they'll go and check the chat logs and be like, oh, you guys are talking about this, and then we get booted. So that's why we're setting up the private Haven server and getting that done and out of the way. So I set up Gallows in DC. Yeah. I'm totally for that. I mean, we should have hung people for treason a long, long time ago, like really, honestly, right from the time of Reconstruction onwards, truthfully, that's what should have happened. But
it's amazing how many cucked up cowards that we have in this country.
Yeah, everybody that's ever in a place of power, they're all controlled. Like every single man and woman, they're either an attorney, which automatically makes them controlled, or they're getting bought or paid for, or they're compromised in some other way, like the whole entire Epstein crowd, or worse off, they're doing it willingly, meaning they're doing the evil willingly for their Luciferian masters. That's That's pretty much it.
Maybe that's a good pivot right there for current events and things of that nature. I know KF posted the screen grab of the thinginet from Colorado yesterday, and I caught the article on Zero Hedge too, that they basically are making everybody take a pledge to not align themselves with ICE, CBP, whatever, in order to be able to use our court system out there. Every lawyer, every attorney, if you don't take this pledge to say, I am not going to aid and abet ICE, CBP, whatever, if you don't attest to that, you basically get locked out of the system.
Yeah, I did see that. And that's been happening in a lot of other places. Well, not from as far as the court system is concerned, but I have seen that happen in the laws of the states that I think there's like probably, I think I've saved like at least 13 states where they've already passed laws that say if as far as a corporation is concerned, if you boycott Israel, then you're not getting any state contracts at all. Like that's been something that's been baked into the state laws for a long time. But now they're saying
DEI too.
True. Yeah. But now they're talking about in Colorado that you can't even access the court system. Now this comes to a private aspect, not so much like controlling corporations. This goes to controlling people that they're saying you can't use the Colorado court system if you, say some bad words about Israel or the Jews or whatever. Okay. That is a whole different level of fuckery because the
Colorado judiciary is out of control. And I have firsthand knowledge of that shit. I fucking hate them.
Yeah. I mean, you've got stories upon stories and so do I, and so do a lot of other people about people getting locked out of the entire court system, everything that you went through, everything that Drew went through, everything that I've seen happen in Colorado is nuts. You just take one walk through Denver Airport and take a look at the murals on the walls. It's pretty clear what's going on in Colorado. Like,
yeah, it's a Satanist stronghold for sure.
Yes. Yep. That's exactly what I'm getting at. And I'm sure there are tunnels connected under Denver Airport that lead off to their little places. And I'm sure they've been trafficking everything from humans to frickin' organs to God knows what all else in that airport. So yeah, because literally the writing is on the wall, if you will, which is insane.
Yeah, well, their hubris is off the chart.
Yeah, they just don't care anymore. Like at all, they don't care. They're just going for it as fast and as hard as they possibly can without anybody caring one way or the other, or anybody stopping them, really, truthfully. I think one of the only people, the only country that's in a sense knows what's going on and is doing his best to stop them is probably Russia. Like, because Putin is well aware of what he's fighting and who he's fighting and for what reason he's fighting them. Because obviously he knows the history of his own country. And if you have somebody like Alexander Solzhenitsyn as one of your mentors, you're not going to soon forget that. So yeah. Okay. The floor is open if anybody else wants to bring up anything or pivot to some other topic that's either on this timeline or not, that's fine.
Yeah, I was just going to share that I was in Galveston last weekend for my daughter had a dance competition, and we went to the beach on Sunday, and we're on East Galveston Beach, and one of the refineries had a huge fire, and we were looking it up trying to find it. And we hadn't seen anything about the Valero explosion like 4 days before in Texas City. But this was a Marathon refinery that was on fire. So I was just adding that, there's stuff going on that they're not really talking about.
Yeah, it goes to the infrastructure destruction. You're right. And there's been a lot more infrastructure destruction here in America than they have been talking about. Let's not to mention, half of Nebraska on fire. Okay, I might be exaggerating, but you get the point. That was never in the news. Nobody ever talked about it. So all these places in Nebraska, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of acres goes up in flames, and all of that, well, what would have been winter wheat gets burned up. okay, I'm sure that's connected, like that, right? If they're not bringing it up, it's part and parcel of their plan. Because I consider burning winter wheat fields in Nebraska part of our infrastructure. I don't see that as separate. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
You go and you burn crops. That is a military tactic thousands and thousands of years old. You know, that's what the Romans did to Hannibal. They just burned everything in front of him. It's like, okay, have fun eating grass.
Yeah, I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah. Yeah, you can look it up. Nebraska's been ablaze for a minute. But yeah, the Texas blow up. There was the Texas thing. There was a couple food processing plants that I'd seen also.
There was the airport thing recently. Did you see that?
Oh, there was the plane and the fire truck. Yeah. I don't know how much of that connects to like a super major, like infrastructure issue, aside from taking out an airport for a day. That is a thing.
Yeah.
But
I saw it as incompetence. It's like a skill incompetence. And I've talked about it with some of the white haired sort of like engineers as the, gen, was it the baby boomers start retiring, you're going to be handing it over to folks that really don't have the experience, and these accidents will become more common. So
that is true. Also going to DEI hire and everything else.
The thing that did come out of that, though, is that the CEO of Air Canada is now out as a result of his conference and that after said incident. Stupid idiot apparently can't even speak French and kind of offended all the folks in Quebec about it by adding a couple bonjours and merci's and that in. I guess that wasn't good enough for them.
Yeah, if the whole French and their thing in Canada about getting pissed off, it seems so ridiculous. But anyway, I'm glad I don't live up there, but it's so be it, whatever. And then KF said...
Well, they tried to secede, sorry. And then didn't they basically... say no, but they couldn't.
Well, as far as secession in Canada is concerned, there is an open invitation that was written down in the Articles of Confederation that any of the Canadians can join us anytime they want to. It's been an open invitation since the creation of our nation. The problem is the Canadians never took us up on it, and instead they ended up with a corporation that's first prime minister was Mackenzie King, who was Rockefeller's attorney. So, you know, they put themselves right under corporate governance for this whole entire time, and they've never really come back. Hopefully they will with this gun grabbing that's going on up there, which I heard about.
And their executive branch is the British monarchy. Their sovereignty is vested through King Charles, right?
Well, the crown still runs everything in Canada, through corporatocracy. They don't have a legitimate – Canada does not have a legitimate sovereign government, period, full stop. They don't have it, okay?
Right. So, it, according to whatever Wikipedia, it's vested through the British monarch. So they did something where they call the British monarch actually the Canadian monarch, right? Like, they just –
Yeah, they still control it. Yeah. The British monarchy is a connection, obviously, all the way in through the Committee of 300. And yes, they've always kept it as like they're just another little conclave, because the Canadians never actually properly established their own republic and or joined us in our republic to then say, you know, fuck off crown. They never did it. Well, they should have done it when we did, but, you know, so be it. Hindsight being 2020 all the way back to 1776.
But I did think that was interesting that everyone flipped out about Trump mentioning Canada becoming a 51st state. And that's been, you know, like you said, is a topic for hundreds of years. It's really not.
Yeah, it's because nobody knows their history.
Canada also has like their rights were defined in their charter, which was what signed not too long ago. I think it was in the 80s by Trudeau's dad or alleged dad. And I've read it, and it's like such a word garbage.
Well, on top of that, people don't understand what charterability is. Like, if you understand what charterability is, then you would look at that and be like, okay, that has nothing to do with me. Right. But you would, but people don't think about that. They're like, oh, it's a list of rights. We get these now. No.
Right. So
you don't understand what charterability is, you dumbass.
So with the trucker protest and Trudeau and whatever they authorized seizing the financial, you know, instrument, their banks, they go, oh, well, this is a violation of my charter rights. And then they said, so what, right? Like, because it, to your point, like, it's almost a, just for show. It's symbolic, but it's not enforceable.
Yeah, it's not enforceable. I mean, it's the same idiocy idea of, like, the UN Charter of Human Rights. Okay, sorry, that's nothing to do with me. All rights stem from property. And if you don't have the capacity to hold title to your property, your land, then guess what? You don't have any rights. That's what every single country in the entire world that has a central bank is stuck under, because we're all registered property at the foundling hospitals, and then no one goes back to claim their estates. So we're all sitting here as infants, being able to use the stuff that these corporations give us under the idea of usufruct, but then we turn around and we register it. Okay, well, if you're an infant, you can't hold title. That's just part and parcel of common law. So if you can't hold title, they're not going to allow you to have any rights, even to your own body, because that was the first thing that got registered. But anyway, I don't want to get into all that tonight. I'm trying to keep this more of like a global aspect of what's going on around the world instead of getting too deep into law. Because we do that every other time we have a Saturday night civics and sovereignty class. All right. I also wanted to bring up the fact that KF said that it's also so much deeper. Things like the emerald ash borer and other shit like the fungus that's eating the orange trees in Florida are forms of biowarfare. True. As are all the ticks that are being released into the Midwest and every other place right now, where farmers have gone out and find boxes and boxes of ticks that are clearly a bioweapon that was clearly placed there to clearly cause damage, harm, loss, and injury to us. That's a thing that's been going on. So, yeah, there's a lot of different ways that biowarfare happens, that being one of them, because they've now engineered these ticks in a way where if certain ones of them bite you, so I've heard, is that they will infect you with something that makes you allergic to meat. Okay, that's a real quick way to destroy the engine that is us, take away the capacity of being able to eat meat. Well, that's what they're doing. So
when you say they, do we have a...
Yeah, global Luciferian Jews, period, full stop.
Is it Monsanto? I mean, it's happening in a laboratory to start, right?
No, it's the standpoint of when it comes to this stuff, the bioengineered stuff. That's not Monsanto when it comes to ticks. That's more... Okay, that comes to that goes to things like those that want to perpetuate and sell you vaccines for the shit that they're putting into the ticks. So that's more like Pfizer, that kind of that side, not Monsanto, but people like Pfizer are the ones that are doing the tick shit.
Actually, he's not terribly far off, because apparently Monsanto has gone back to some of these folks, Nat, for the mRNA stuff and says, hey, you guys lifted our patents and that from way back in order to use that for vaccines.
Oh, so Monsanto's knocking on Pfizer's door now? Is that what they're doing?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I think it was Moderna they might have filed suit against for infringement of their mRNA patents.
Really? Yep. Wow. That's a global power play if I've ever seen one. I mean, think about that. Filthy little global homos filing suit against each other over the weapons that they've developed to kill us. They're like, no, that one's mine. Like, really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And that's why I say, too, with Trump and that granting, you know, basically sovereign immunity for Monsanto Bayer under the rubric of national security, how that plays out here before the Supreme Court here, probably by the end of this month, I think it is, when they're supposed to be in front of SCOTUS.
Was that Trump 1 or 2?
No, this is just within the last several months this has all taken place, because Monsanto Bayer has been knocking on the doors of legislatures all around the states trying to basically get the sweetheart deal that the rest of Big Pharma's got, because they're getting their asses handed to them in court through all these glyphosate / Roundup cases, Nat, that are coming against them. There's thousands and thousands of these.
Yeah.
And they want a class action deal where they disperse like $7.4 billion, maybe as high as $10 billion, I forget what the number is, to disperse out and put an end to it. And the court basically says, nah, we're not having it. And so they basically trying to do an end run around all this stuff by chopping it around the state legislatures, trying to get immunity. They're getting kicked out of the states, not finding Democrats or Republicans to favor with them. So basically their last ditch option was to go to Trump, and Trump basically with RFK in tow, who has been against these folks, by the way, for years and years, managed to get somehow a case before SCOTUS and Trump to declare it a national security issue because the farmers need it. Now, I don't know if you've ever had cancer before, but usually you don't try and feed the cancer before you try and get rid of the cancer.
Yeah, so that was a response to what was going to happen to them.
What likely should happen is that they should get sued the fuck out of existence.
Well, no argument here.
They should be ended. No more Monsanto Bayer. And I thought after the merger that took place, I said, oh, perfect. What better way to take out two companies at the same time than merge those two terrible companies with a terrible history?
Yeah.
These court cases likely would have done it.
Yes, that's true.
Because the first couple of two awards in that came out were substantial. The first couple too that actually went full all the way through proceedings in the court. Of course, you know, some big awards came out, and of course there's appeals and everything else, but at least the first two or three that came out in the last several years were very, very substantial, and that probably got their eyes pretty damn big when they looked at the size of the docket of folks that were coming against them, because there are literally thousands of these cases.
Yeah, I was hoping when that did happen, I thought, well, maybe they can actually bankrupt Monsanto. That would be nice. But no, here comes the global Luciferians and paying off whoever, or threatening, whatever, you know, blackmail, whatever they do, to get Trump and RFK to be like, all right, you're going to do this.
Are you referring to the suit where it was implied it was causing, I think it was like a farmer or somebody, cancer? And then
it's not implied, it is a freaking carcinogen by the UN's document.
Right,
that's not implied, it is known.
The reason why I say implied is because it is a widely used product. Maybe it was like hard to prove that it was directly connected, you know.
There's been I'm sure at least over 100 studies that prove that, yes, it does cause cancer. Like, there's no question about that. Not to mention that. Let's put the cancer thing aside for a second. Spraying glyphosate endlessly onto a nation's soil is a direct attack against that nation because it destroys the topsoil. Okay? So, in a sense, what I would see Monsanto as is a international corporation that is at war with the American people. Not too much unlike the East India Trading Company back in the days when we were all aware of such things and men rode around on horses screaming, beware the East India Trading Company. Well, it's the same fucking thing. Okay. It destroys soil.
It was being sold at Home Depot's. Landscapers would buy it to kill weeds.
No, it's not that. That's not the problem. It's the thousands and thousands and thousands of gallons that gets pumped onto the fields of a nation. That's the problem. That's the reason why Europe clearly banned it a long time ago and said, no, we're not having it. And by the way, we're not importing any food that is tainted with it. Obvious reason. So that's a good point, SD. Also, colony collapse, because if you kill all the bees, you instantaneously lose over one third of the entire food supply of the planet. Okay. And colony collapse is a real thing. And fucking Monsanto is a direct link to that problem. That's also been proven.
Shit like that.
Well, aside from that, but I mean, yeah.
There's a reason why China has no bees and they have to hand pollinate stuff over there.
Yeah, that's a good fight. You had to bring that up, didn't you?
So back to your point on this Alito judge thing. Did anyone hear the woman's, what's her name? Kendra Jackson or something?
Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Yeah. Apparently, like, she was giving her opinion on what something very recent that it was just garbage, and it was, and then she spoke more than all the other justices combined or something. Did anyone hear this? Does anyone know?
Well, we were just listening to the 14th Amendment arguments the other day
from her.
From everybody. Everybody on the Supreme Court had.
There was a whole write up on her about her.
So she starts rambling about going to Japan and how. Isn't that insane? It's like. Embarrassing, right?
Well, since we want to get on this topic for a second, I thought the thing that was absolutely the most insane, without question, was that nobody, through all of those arguments, ever brought up one single time that, hey, wait a second, the 14th Amendment was never properly ratified. And then I got into some beef with it, some various different people on different social media platforms, namely X. And I said, what are you guys even talking about? The 14th Amendment was never properly ratified. And they come back with me, what are you talking about? Everybody knows it was ratified. I'm like, no, you don't know your history. Why don't you go look at the congressional record of, I think it was 1963, where there was a bunch of people saying and clearly proving in the congressional record that the thing had never properly been ratified for various different constitutional reasons. And yet you still want to argue with me about its validity or how it's going to affect us as far as birthright citizenship. Fuck you. It never existed. But that never came up in arguments, which kind of stunned me.
That saying about repeat a lie often enough, it becomes.
Well, the interesting thing is that in the Supreme Court arguments for this, they actually brought up the bad elk thing.
Yeah, they did. They did bring up elk. That's true.
What is that? Sorry?
It's a court case. Here, let me just get it. I'll just grab it out of the. I'll show you guys. I have a picture of it. I'll just do it as an info meme onto the screen, real quick. The court case was Elk versus, I think it was Williams, I think. All right, so let me throw it up on screen here, and I'll just
Elk versus there it is. Elk versus Wilkins.
Yep. So yeah, they brought this up, being like, and this is the whole point about this case was the center point. The court decided that even Elk was born in the United States, he was not a citizen because he owed allegiance to his tribe when he was born rather than the U.S. and therefore was not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States when he was born, which is a clear part of the 14th Amendment. You have to be born or naturalized, which is fine. Most of us are born here. But you have to be that and subject to the jurisdiction of Congress to be a citizen of the United States. Okay, so what if you're born or naturalized but you're not subject? Okay, that would be like all of us as Deasure state citizens. But they were saying since Elk was not subject to the jurisdiction, he can't be a United States citizen. And this was all about him trying to vote, by the way.
But he's born on an Indian reservation. I thought the reservation that's not U.S. soil or something.
No, it's still part of U.S. from a standpoint that it's a reservation here. Yeah, it's considered U.S. territory. Yeah.
Is it?
Yes, even though they have their own.
It's considered American territory, not United States.
No, they have their own. They have their own capacity to have their own governance, but the case says right here. I mean, the court decided that even Elk was born in the United States. Okay, so he was born on an Indian reservation. The Supreme Court is saying he was born in the United States. So there's your argument knocked out in one sentence. It's about the being subject is the problem.
I want to read this now.
Yeah, it's 1884. Yeah, the sightings right here. You can look it up. Or I can drop the thing in the chat too, I suppose.
The only thing that can override the Supreme Court is the Supreme Court. But Elk versus Wilkins is basically the foundation for the whole doctrine where birthright citizenship doesn't really exist.
Yeah, and that was also restated, or it was also stated in the debates during the passing of the 14th Amendment, alleged passing of the 14th Amendment, in the congressional record, which I think we went over. Yeah, I think we covered that last Wednesday in roundtable. We got onto this discussion and I brought that up and I gave everybody the document of the information from the congressional record way back in the 1800s that said clearly that there is no question that this is not going to establish some sort of birthright citizenship. Yeah, according to 10% of all births in the U.S. are now anchor babies. Yeah, that's there you go. There's your problem.
Now, here's something fucking scary, all right? Only U.S. citizens can be president. Well, what happens, say, some fucking Chinese asshole has their anchor baby in Guam or something, then flies back home, gets all their Communist Party indoctrination, and then as soon as they hit 35 years old, they start fucking running for president legally.
That's Obama.
And also,
Obama was the test case for this, sure, but you know what I mean.
The lady, what was her name? Kamala. Her parents weren't U.S. citizens, and then she like grew up. Majority of her childhood was in Canada or something.
And not to mention her ancestors were slave owners. Yeah,
were slave owners in the Caribbean. So.
and then she was on ABC, like slutting out with the mayor in San Francisco.
And she's trying to claim she's fucking Indian heritage. She's not. So.
Yeah, that was. All right, let's not get off of two stupid tangents on that idiot bitch. I know, focus again.
I tried to forget her name.
I mean, Kamala is as fucking Indian as what's her face is Native American.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Warren. Warren.
Warren.
Yeah.
If you see a comment like I've seen this recently, where it's like, and you know, oh my God, Trump's so bad, and you could have voted in this, you know, come on. I'm like, that's the bot, because it's like the. Even the left, like no one wanted her, and no one is saying that with a rational mind. So I feel like there's some fuckery with these bots being programmed to write something like that.
Well, this is what you get with a couple hundred, well, at least 100 years of Prussian education indoctrination, starting in the early 1900s, and when they destroyed the one-room schoolhouses and the curriculum that we had, which was actual American history, and the teaching of grammar, logic, and rhetoric, which is the first three of the seven liberal arts, which actually teaches you how to think critically. Once you get that out of the way, then you can start to push any direction you want to and totally take over a nation, which they've done very well at.
Yeah, and can I just add on to that? I think I was reading on this, and I think it just also all came from Massachusetts. You know how Massachusetts were the smartest state and highest test scores, they're very smug, right? And I'm pretty sure that they were the ones that spearheaded that educational change or mandate across the country, where it was like they made it as part of their state law or something.
It was the Rockefellers that did it. The Rockefellers really did it by taking over the teacher pension funds. So once you controlled the money of the teachers, then you could really decide to push what direction you wanted it to go.
If you want a good book to read in that regard, read Cheryl Iserbit's book, The Dumbing Down of America Over the Last 100 Years. It obviously talks about the Rockefellers. It talks about the Ford Foundation. It talks about the Carnegie side of things, all the way up year by year, the changes made, all the way up to Reagan when he was shot, Department of Education, Russia, who the players are year by year.
Yeah, if you also another good thing to watch is The Ultimate History Lesson with John Taylor Gatto, and reading all of John Taylor Gatto's books, because John Taylor Gatto's books are, in my personal opinion, a little bit better than Charlotte's books are. Charlotte kind of did come from sort of controlled opposition, in a sense. I'm not downplaying her work and what she says in the books. It's important. But John Taylor Gatto is like, I think, a step up.
Yeah, like the charter, I think, even has it, the Canadian one, a right to education.
Yeah, well, no one has a right to education. If you're talking about the right to learn something, okay, sure, from the standpoint that you own your own body. But no one has a right to education that somebody else has to pay for. That's ridiculous.
So they're pushing this policy and this, and trying to make it this be the norm and all and everywhere, basically. And then it's obvious that they're going to make their agenda, their education curriculum, you know, like whatever the WEF type stuff in Africa and all those other developing countries. And yeah, that's, to me, that's clearly why they're making it out to be this emotional rights issue when it's not.
Right? Yeah, well, they'll always give you a right that they want you to take, or it's never a right anyway. What it is it's a benefit. You're taking a benefit from the government so that they can basically be in your back pocket the rest of your life. It's no different than the whole Tontine Ponzi scheme called social insurance, which eventually became Social Security. It's the same idea. If the government can get you under a contract to agree to something, well, then the maxim of law states that the contract makes the law. So you are inadvertently exchanging what was a right that you had as a right. You're taking it as a privilege now by contract. That's what the totality of this system is, starting from the birth certificate on. It's all about contract and registration, both. And it's rather ridiculous.
Just to give you a slight microcosm of how bad our education system is here in America. Last night I was sitting on another platform and had as you were streaming. And we decided, man, what the heck, we'll get on this monkey app or whatever the hell it's called, where basically it just, you know, scrolls through, finds somebody, pairs you up with, you talk to them, you skip over, whatever. I did that on a couple different platforms. So in his background, he's got a big flag behind him, red, white, and green. Now, what flag would you suppose that would be? Just straight bars, straight vertical, red, white, and green. Nothing on, no pattern, no nothing.
Sounds like Iran.
Red, white, and green, is it? No, I think Iran has a symbol in the center of it, does it not?
Iran does have a symbol.
Yeah, you're right. But I watched one of these old Olympics.
Aloha in Palestine.
No, it's actually Italy.
Oh, okay.
He's Italian, and he's from New York. So you wouldn't believe the number of folks in that who, without saying a word, didn't ask a question, immediately assumed, one, he was either Mexican, he was French, or he was Irish.
Well, I didn't know it off the top of my head either. I mean, I should have, but I didn't. I mean, okay, that's so pretty bad coming from me, but I mean, okay. I wouldn't have jumped to conclusions, though, either. I would have actually just gone and looked.
But we kept a running count of this throughout the night. Not everybody in that, obviously, was asked a question. Some people skipped over, whatever. But we ended up with, by the end of the night, I think it was like 4 hours of this we watched play out. We had 32 folks in that say it was Mexican, French, or Irish. And we only had about 26, 27, something like that, that actually got it right and said it was the Italian flag. And surprisingly, the folks in that were getting it right, many of these folks now are outside the United States.
Right, yeah.
No, it knowledge just highlights skills. How far our education system has fallen. Yeah. Because you see memes and stuff in that from years past where kids in eighth grade were taking tests that are harder than what kids graduate with here today. Kids now that are graduating out of Baltimore, for example, can't read, they can't do math, they can't write.
Thank you for reminding me that, by the way. I was thinking about reposting that onto X. That was that eighth grade test that I showed all you guys from, I think it was 1890, I think.
Yeah, early 1900s, late
1800s. And it was an eighth grade graduation test. And as the story goes, as you guys know, but I'll repeat it to everybody because this is the type of stuff we talk about on Wednesday night. I gave it to everybody that I thought was like the most intelligent people that I knew at the time. And this was like way back in my late 20s. And there was only one person that could pass it. And that was my mother, who had been an elementary education teacher her whole life and actually grew up going to one of these one room schoolhouses out in the country and actually learned everything properly. And so the curriculum that she got was not that much different than what the test probably would have been. So
just to like push back on that, sometimes I also wonder that whoever's controlling those viral videos, they want us to think everyone's retarded and everyone's dumb and feel bad, because it's like real world. You talk to people and they're like, oh, you know, we still got some smart folks. And then I just wanted to add also Thomas Sowell, right? The famous author, academic. He went to a public school in Harlem.
I know who Thomas Sowell is. Yeah. Great economist.
Yeah. So, That's like the easy for me, like how horrible things got since his.
Well, youth. I think there's another thing here we have to take into consideration is that the importance of mothers and fathers in taking an interest in their children's education is also part of the problem. And those that do take a great interest in their children's education will do everything that they can to prepare them before they even get to school, and then we'll continue to help them. They'll have a mindset of learning, a mindset of autodidactic understanding, and they'll continue to perpetuate that within the child's life. Instead of being a situation where you have this, you know, nanny state where, say, a family, husband and wife, whatever, they don't take any interest in their child's education and they just say, oh, we're just going to send them off to day school, you know, day school and be wow. like a babysitter when they're having to yeah. work two different jobs to be able to sustain what they're doing. The wife can't stay at home to raise the child properly, as would have been done in the times before this totality of economic stupidity and mm-hmm. raping occurred in America. That's also a big part of the problem. So, yeah, I've got the test, JW.
Can I add to that, Zen? Neighbors. I mean, like, this is a proven thing that I think it actually has a greater impact from like age 8 to 16 or something, that if you have a neighbor and some sort of mentor or teacher, a trustworthy, you know, community member that teach your kid to do something that the parent cannot, it's a huge influencer. And it just makes me think about like these times that we had, like even Philadelphia in the 70s, people didn't lock their doors because they had a high trust community. You probably have
get back to the 1800s and there weren't even locks installed in the doors. Like, they weren't even installed. So, yeah. And this is my version of it. It looked like, Dross, looked like you dropped one that was like a little bit longer, maybe. Oh, it's the same thing, but it's two different columns. Okay, that's what it is. Yeah, so this is what we're referring to. I'm going to blow this up. You guys probably won't be able to read it because some of the writing's kind of screwy. But so you have reading, arithmetic, grammar, geography, history, civil government, philosophy. And guess what? None of them are multiple choice. They are all, you have to know this and you actually have to write it out as to what the answer is. And the first one's spelling too as well.
So would you say this is eighth grade?
Yes, this is an eighth grade graduation test. This one's, okay, sorry, I was a little off, 1912. So actually, Spectre, you were right, early 1900s. I thought it was late 1800s, but I guess it's wrong. But anyway, but this was prior to the Prussian education system fucking everything up and Rockefeller coming in and saying, this is how we're going to do this. And then the other thing that happened too is that the Rockefeller took care of like the elementary education, and then the Carnegie Foundation took over the higher learning of things like American history and altered the college side of it. So that even after you got into college, it's not like you kind of got like a reset and restart. No, you were still mm-hmm. stuck into the same problem that you were beforehand. Because one took one and one took the other to screw both up.
You're also talking about the certification that you can't be a doctor unless you get the Rockefeller, whatever.
Well, that is the Prussian education system. Your bachelor, master, and doctorate degrees, that is part of the Prussian education system. That's where it came from.
So it's gatekeeped, and then you can't do a practice, even though you might be fully qualified through experience, through whatever. They started to, arrest those, you know, med practitioners, and then you had to get the ones that were indoctrinated by the...
Yeah, it's a gatekeeping ability that forces people to get licenses, right, to be able to practice whatever, blah, blah, blah. When beforehand, there was no such thing. If you were a doctor, that's because you studied it, and people that went to you got better, or if they died, people didn't go to you. That's how that used to work.
Is the bar...
The bar is definitely what the bar is really. It's a private membership organization that has been around for a very long period of time and stems all the way back to what were called the Inns of Court. So there was, I think there was ultimately four or five of them in England, and they were multiple different ones. And those were the things that you used to go to in order to be able to then be qualified, if you will, as a barrister to then be able to quote unquote practice law back in England. Okay. Well, that was long before the Prussian education system came in and did all that, but they have still always, the bar has still always been a private membership organization of which you don't get into unless you follow their rules. And then you have to actually take an oath basically to, in a sense, their own system of what they're doing. It's not about understanding the common law. It's not about understanding how to protect and defend the rights of a populace. It's all about perpetuating the idea of Roman civil law and using systems of control in things like, well, for example, like court rules and whatnot that they set that keeps everybody else out if you don't know how to play by the rules, right? You're not doing this correct in my courtroom. You don't know how to be here. You need an attorney. Well, no, I'm standing on my substantive rights and I demand to be free of this jurisdiction. Yeah, that's the logical thing to do. But that all got pulled out of the way and redone and really, really got fucked up after Reconstruction. They didn't really, really ramp it up until tried to merge equity and common law, which happened in and around the whole New Deal.
I think you write it very well in many of the handbills, is that they have like their five different systems and basically try to convolute and make it almost like a manufactured intentional confusion.
Well, yeah, if anybody actually wants to learn the law, go watch the totality of law classes. Because in those set of classes, I explain every aspect of what the law is. The five different jurisdictions of American jurisprudence. Now, there are other jurisdictions which aren't part of our jurisprudence, say like Sharia law. That has no business here at all. But I explain the five jurisdictions, the two origins of law, which are only common law and statute. I explain the difference between common law and Roman civil law and everything else. That's all explained in those classes, which I don't want to get into.
They set it up so that they can like exploit one or the other to basically get their action against you.
Yeah, that's the definition of it. That is the definition of a turn. The definition of a turn is to take from one and give to another. All right. SD Lovey-Dovey has hand raised, so go ahead.
You are all right. So how do we feel about Texas saying that their Supreme Court's going to decide who's going to be able to practice law and not the bar?
Oh, I hadn't heard that one. That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm doing a Rudisell review right now, which means...
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, a few of the other guys are as well, and one more might be capable of going in and doing some law in Texas.
That's fun. Okay, well, that's good. And it should be done that way. It should be reversed and like kicked out by the states. That's certainly right. How I see that. That's a good way to do it.
I feel the same. I also believe that the America we were sold is actually the Confederate States of America, as I finished the first volume of that book. So I think everyone should read it. The Rise and Fall of the Confederate Government. It's just states' rights.
That is the center of how this whole thing got started anyway, because the Articles of Confederation, there was no centralized power.
Yep.
And then the Constitution came along by a false flag called Shays' Rebellion, where then Hamilton and Washington basically pushed through the Constitution in like 6 months. Where it took 4 years for the states to agree on the Articles of Confederation. I wonder why. Maybe they didn't want to give up their power, right?
I was reading like the state of New York to ratify the Constitution. I think it was one of the last states. And there's a thing on the Library of Congress. It's like, I feel like it's 600 pages. And it's just these guys going back and forth, these families, about basically what you're just saying.
A lot of that's also laid out in the Federalist and Anti-Federalist papers as well. And yes, the whole aspect of states' rights, particularly dealing with the Confederacy and why that even happened, was because the federal government pushed unconstitutional taxes onto the southern states. And they're like, what are you doing? And they said, we're not dealing with this. We're not going to have it. And the starting of the Civil War was Virginians deciding to blow up a tariff office, which was called Fort Sumter. They didn't blow it up because it was a fort. They blew it up because it was a tariff collecting office. We're not paying this shit. And you don't have any capacity or constitutionality to tell us to pay it. So, yeah, it's always been about states' rights. The states themselves are nations, in case anybody doesn't realize that. That's why they have governors. And the United States Federal Corporation has a president.
So then, just to be like super specific, you said states themselves are also nations, but I started to see that there is a lot of convolution with the word state, nation, like the etymology and
country. A nation is basically a people. You can consider them to be nations. You can also they also are separate states, and in a sense, they also are their own countries because they have their own laws, they have their own constitutions.
The easiest way to explain it is to say that each state is sovereign, and they are a group of sovereign states in a permanent alliance acting in concert.
Yeah. What'd you drop, Spectre? What's that? Oh, thank you. You dropped the Rise and Fall of the Confederacy. Okay, great. Let me grab this in case anybody in Rumble Chat wants to partake and download. I'll make sure to grab this after class as well. I think I've only read parts of it. So there we go.
So back to the state definition. EU is a state, or is it, what is it, right? And then what are the countries within the EU? Do they have their own sovereignty? Can they say, tell the EU?
Of course, they have their own sovereignty before the EU was ever created.
The EU is a federation.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, you're right, John. And the word state comes from the word estate. True. Also correct. Okay. I think we had a pretty fun discussion. And now everybody gets to see what it's like to do a Wednesday night roundtable, technically, on a Saturday night civics and sovereignty class. And the other thing I think I'll do is I think I'll have these maybe like once a quarter. So maybe not like once a month. That might be a little bit too often to maybe break up what we're doing. So I'll try and do them once a quarter. And if there's something that's like really crazy that comes up, whatever it may be, like grid down, invasion, something, then we'll have a roundtable like this on a Saturday night again so that everybody can come and talk and share our information. And one last thing I'd just like to tell everybody about is that I've set up the funding for the Vocational Science Freedom Community AI Server fundraiser. I will be adding this as a comment under maybe not all, but several of the latest classes so that if people would like to help donate, we're looking to build an AI server so that we can do things like create court templates, get information quickly by training it on all of the information that I've ever collected on American law, American history, and just everything else, the 2. Whatever terabytes that I have. There was no ending date for the fundraiser. I set it as just like an ongoing thing. So when we hit our goal, I'll tell everybody that we hit the goal, and if they'd want to continue to do fundraising, that's perfectly fine. But there's no set end date to it. I'm hoping that we'll reach it hopefully sometime around like midsummer or at latest, you know, into the fall time and be able to get this whole thing done and this whole server up by the end of the year. Because then we can do all kinds of other things with it. Aside from the things that I already mentioned, we'll also be able to do audiobooks out of it and other things. And until that time, I'm just going to keep giving Flood silver and having him create them for me. So, okay. So with that, I'd like to thank all you guys for coming. And it was a really good turnout tonight. We had mega full, which is nice, as we usually do on Wednesday night as well. And I'd like to thank everybody else out there for listening and everybody on Rumble. And I'll see all the rest of you guys, obviously, on Wednesday night for Open Roundtable again, like this. And until then, as always, stay safe and stay sovereign.